The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a sensational Sunday. Super to the last second. If you didn't see how the season ended last night, you aren't going to believe it. Meanwhile, Big Ben on a wing and a prayer. How the Steelers stayed the course and stayed alive. And then the D in Big D stands for doom. We'll tell you why yesterday was a big loss for the Cowboys, even though they didn't even play. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now, beginning a day on ESPN that will end here. Indianapolis tonight, college football's national championship, Georgia and Alabama, a rematch of the SEC title game that the Tide won about a month ago. Should be a spectacular day and a spectacular night, and we are delighted to start it for you. Welcome to Get Up. We're presented by T-Mobile. Dan, RC is looking just ridiculously dope. Rex Ryan is
not ridiculously dope.
Yes.
Welcome back, Greedy.
Let's go.
Let's get it going.
Thank you. All right, if you didn't see how the season ended last night, it might have been the craziest game of the year. Chargers, Raiders, if it ends in a tie, they both make the playoffs. Third quarter, fourth and one from his own 18, Dan, the Chargers.
And they're doing exactly what they've done all year, which is be aggressive. They're going to run right into the teeth of this Raiders defense. Credit that front for being stout.
Be aggressive or be stupid.
Yes,
there you go.
Rex Ryan doesn't like it. Meanwhile, fourth down's worth a theme here. Down 15 points in the fourth quarter, fourth and six.
Yeah, good job getting his ball out on time, and then Mike Williams getting deep enough to get that conversion.
A few plays later, fourth and 21, Dan.
Look at the odds. Peek left, peek left, peek left, and then that in route comes on that backside. Down 15. Woo. This is a miracle play. We saw plenty of them from Justin Herbert.
Two-point conversion makes it a seven-point game. Now it's a fourth and 10.
Yeah, seven stops. You're going to push up, corner out, and snap back that big frame, a big conversion for this Chargers offense.
They keep it alive. 10 seconds to go in their season. Second and 10. Jalen Guyton.
Effortless. Left hash all the way to the sideline, almost 20 yards downfield. Beautiful throw.
Final play. Last chance. Season on the line. Justin Herbert.
Shuffle to your left. Keep your eyes downfield and throw an absolute dart to save your season.
He threw 64 passes last night. Game goes to overtime. Raiders get it first in the OT. Josh Jacobs.
Relatively impressed with the Raiders' run game last night. Specifically on the outside, Josh Jacobs ran really hard for this offense.
They kick a field goal. 32-29, Raiders. Chargers need to score to keep their season alive. This is fourth and nine.
An absolute missile. I mean, the ball comes out so early and so fast, the defense doesn't even know where the football is.
Yeah, that's stupid.
My God.
That's stupid.
An unbelievable finish. Third and six. It's Herbert for Williams. This is almost the game.
Another perfect throw. Perfect. And Mike Williams is good enough to make that one-handed catch that close for them to end this game.
Tied at 32. Remember, if they finish in a tie, they both make it and Pittsburgh's out. Raiders get it back. Zay Jones.
Throw of the season for Derek Carr, in my opinion. Third and eight, man coverage. You got to put it on the sideline when he can catch it.
Third and four, 38 seconds left. Chargers call a timeout.
Yeah.
Rex has his face in his hands. The Steeler fan thinking, I can't have a tie. After the timeout, Raiders third and four. Do they get the first down? Yes, they do.
Again, the physical run, the vision by Jacobs, very impressive right there. You see the energy when he pops up off the ground.
And so the season comes down to literally the final second. Daniel Carlson is good from 47. The Raiders are in. The Steelers are in. The Chargers are done.
Was there any consideration to just running down the clock there and not even attempting a field goal?
It was conversation. We were talking about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but we ran the ball there, and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing. Then we had the big run. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it.
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here.
All right, and so this is how this thing sets up. The Raiders finished the regular season winning their final four games by a combined 12 points. They get in as the 5 seed. They take on Cincinnati Saturday. The Chargers, meanwhile, finish up losing 3 of their last 4, and they are out. And Rex Ryan, what?
Well, I'm going to say this. First off, we're being robbed
as NFL fans that we don't get to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs.
Who robbed us?
The guy with the – well, you know who it was? The dude with the small hat. Little hat. Little hat right there that has no clue. We talked about this is what he's done all year. Yeah, exactly. This guy coaches like he's a Division III coach that nobody cares about. Huh. All right? You've got – it's hard not to make – the playoffs with a franchise quarterback. But congratulations, you did it. How he faces his football team after this one is incredible to me. Look, the Raiders were content. They were going to take the tie. Mm-hmm. They absolutely were going to take tie. But homeboy sitting back, time out. What?
No, what? Homeboy.
What?
Homeboy.
Time out. You're brilliant with those timeouts. You got a way better football team than you got beat by, and you lost. You're at home. I just think it's ridiculous. And here's the thing. People praise him. I'm old school. Rex, you're old school. This guy gets it. Yeah. This dude, I mean, he has no idea. He's got no experience. He got nothing. And to me, you inherited a team. All right. You know, you were born on third base, think you hit a triple. Mm. That's his cat right here.
RC, the going for it on fourth down at his own 18-yard line and everything else.
Hey, listen, you know what? I want a risk-averse, right, coach that's okay with kicking the football, whether it's a punt or a field goal. This dude's not okay with that. And Dan defended him early on in the year, talking about his aggression, and this is who he is, and we're going to try to win the game. Well, he went out and he lost the football game yesterday. And he's right, and Rex is right in this sense. There are a lot of teams sitting at home right now excited that the Los Angeles Chargers aren't in the playoffs and the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Mm-hmm. This was Rich Bisaccia finding a way to win a football game by making the smart plays and continuing to give his teams opportunity, and Brandon Staley doing the opposite. Now, what we saw from Justin Herbert last night was absolutely stupid. Right. We were texting on the group chat, and I was like, oh, hell. Yeah. Right? And then it was
there's
probably
another
like,
one.
Yeah, it was probably like seven balls people dropped, not because they were bad throws. He just threw them too damn hard. Right? This dude is amazing, and now he'll be sitting home because his coach didn't make the right decision.
All right, so my thoughts on last night's game. Number one, before we do anything with the Chargers, Derek Carr deserves all our praise.
100%.
And the praise that we would heap on an Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady for what he has done this year in the clutch moments, Derek Carr deserves all kinds of praise for that. I think Brandon Staley is a phenomenal head coach. Mm. I think he's brilliant. I think his dice rolling costed their football team the chance to go to the playoffs. Yep. I don't all that disagree with the aggression of those fourth down calls situationally. I would push back on you guys on that. The thing I would say is, why, and Marcus Spears put us onto this a couple weeks ago, why the quarterback run isn't involved in that situation to threaten the defense more is what I had the biggest issue with.
Yeah, I got an issue with that also, but that's the problem, Dano. You don't get it because this guy right here, when you're going for it in the back end, all these idiot coaches for years were wrong. No, they weren't. You lose games that way.
Yeah.
You lose games. You can't win a game in that situation, but you can damn sure lose it. And this guy right here, he doesn't get it. And brilliant, what makes him brilliant? He was a defensive coach that has a horrendous defense that can't stop the run when you know they're going to run. Does that make you brilliant? No, it makes you a coach that's supposed to be a defensive guru, but you really never earned your stripes, my friend. That's what this is about. And this is about a guy that has an incredible football team.
Right.
An incredible football team.
You know what he got?
As talented as anybody, and he can't get it.
But don't you think that because of we just watched the quarterback last night go like 6-6.
Yeah, by the way, John Elway, doesn't he look like John Elway? He's, again.
Right. But
every time he plays.
The quarterback went 6-6 on fourth downs. So
yeah.
That's why I think it lends himself to be overly aggressive because
I think
he believes in the quarterback.
I think this guy would be aggressive with anybody he had.
Those
and
six
it's reckless,
six,
by the way.
Situationally, everybody understood you had to go for those six.
Sure.
Right? The one you go up backed up in your own end, you don't have to go for that. And then they put it up. It was 35% if you just punt
it.
It was like 45 if you get it, 26 if you don't. Right? And so you put yourself in a position, and I'm not even going to say it was based on numbers, based on wanting the perception of being aggressive, right? Because now that's what I feel like it's about with Brandon Staley. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the analytics. It's wanting to show the world that I'm an aggressive coach at all times. So now when I do make the wrong mistake, you know what people are going to come on TV
that's
and say? You know what the fans are going to say? This is who he is. Well, what he is right now is a coach that coached his team out of a playoff opportunity against a team they were better than.
This guy is reckless, Greeny.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He is reckless.
I don't disagree. The backed up one was odd. Like, I will say, That I felt that was overly aggressive. But if quarterback run was utilized in that situation, I would have felt a little bit better about it.
Once again, if that game had ended in a tie, the Steelers would have been the odd team out.
But guess what, Greedy?
Now what happened?
2 weeks in a row, RC being the Steeler!
That's exactly right.
I get it.
And Ben Roethlisberger got them in. First of all, let's say congratulations to T.J. Watt with this sack.
Congratulations, T.J. Watt. I don't care if it took 17 games. You are immortalized in history as the all-time sack leader along with Michael Strahan.
22.5 for the season ties the record. Tied at 3 at the half. Third quarter, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, you could run the football with power run game against this Steelers defense. Latavius Murray sees that backside pulling guard. One cut, runaway touchdown.
46 yards, longest play of the game for Baltimore. They're up 10-3. It's 10-6, fourth quarter. Less than 3 minutes left for Ben in his career. He needs it. Chase Claypool.
Yeah, nice recoil versus that zone coverage. Freiermuth's not there. Claypool sits down. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
Steelers up 3. Tyler Huntley now on the Ravens' next drive using his legs.
Yeah, he steps up in the pocket. It's not there. Then he gets outside to the left side. This is a good job by Huntley starting this two-minute drill.
Gain of 21, 4th and 2, about a buck 17 to play here. And this is Justin Tucker, as clutch as it gets.
On an absolute straight. I mean, that ball just went dead straight in that weather.
46 yards. They're going to overtime, tied at 13. Ravens win the toss. They would have to punt. You mentioned Freiermuth. He has become such a weapon.
Yeah, he trusts them. He trusts that they're going to see it the same way. That ball comes out super early. That is a big-time throw from Big Ben.
Gain of 14 on 3rd and 7. Now here's a 3rd and 9,
whip
Deontay.
I mean, that's one of the more uncoverable routes in football right now. Deontay Johnson on that whip route. Sell the slant, come back out.
Then the big decision, 4th and 8, they go for it.
Yeah, nice job by that slot receiver. Can't wait to break this one down from an offensive and defensive perspective.
It's Ray McLeod, who held on to that one and fell into a first down, and that sets up this. Chris Boswell, 36 yards, and it's good. So for Ben, there will be another day. As you saw, the Steelers, by virtue of the late game not ending in a tie, wind up getting in. All right, my favorite Pittsburgh Steeler, how are we feeling today, RC?
You know what? What I know. That I'm always right. And here's what else I also know. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to lose this week. I'm not even tripping on that, though, because the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You're right about that.
I said they win the last week against the Cleveland Browns. Also picked them to beat the Baltimore Ravens. When you look at the way this thing set up, it was about winning the game you were faced with each and every week and winning enough of those games to get into the playoffs. And that's what Mike Tomlin did. Mike Tomlin found ways to get enough stops. He found ways to get enough first downs and win a football game. And that's what this is about, Rex. You talked about Brandon Staley having a better team than what he faced in the Las Vegas Raiders, but not winning, not making the correct decision. Head coaching is hard. Winning football games in the NFL is difficult. And when you have a team that doesn't have a quarterback that can win you football games, when you have a team that doesn't necessarily have an offensive line that can create holes or that can protect your quarterback, it's hard to win football games. And they found ways to beat teams that they were either equal with or better than. And that's what it's about. And that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the playoffs. And that's a microcosm of what Mike Tomlin has been as a head coach his entire tenure in Pittsburgh.
Coaching still matters, is what I saw. And when I look at it this way, Mike Tomlin, like, I got unbelievable amount of respect for this man. And look, as a coach, your job is to get the maximum of your football team.
That's
every
real.
Player on your team. This team, I would disagree. They're not as good as other teams that they played this year.
Okay.
And for them, and here's how I would prove it to you, in my opinion. They've given up, if you take the first three quarters of the game, all right, minus 121 in points.
That's not good.
Yet plus 60 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This guy, absolutely, he knows how to win.
Yep.
He knows how to win. And he puts his team, he gives them a chance to win. Just a brilliant coach.
Yeah. What, if you think about it, the Steelers needed almost 140 minutes of football to get in yesterday. They went almost to the end of their overtime. Then they had to sit to the final second of the overtime at night, and they're on to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's probably the greatest coaching season of Mike Tomlin's career, which says a lot. I think that the reality is you see why they're a great organization because they could take a bad team and still get them in. You remember the first game of the season? It was against Buffalo. We could play great defense, and then our Hall of Famer might be clutch at the end.
Block the punt. Ben makes some big throws late in the game.
Kind of the story of that game, kind of story of the season, kind of the story of yesterday as well. And I do think that Big Ben, the Hall of Famer, was clutch late in that football game, and it's a big reason why that they are going into the playoffs. 3rd and 9 in the second, definitely fourth quarter. quarter, you're going to get dropout coverage by those zone defenders. You guys know this is that deep crisscross, deep mesh. It's great versus man. It's not good versus zone. You got to get this ball over linebackers, but before that corner comes.
Now, the other thing is, too, same play against Buffalo first week of the season.
Correct. Huge conversion. This one, you got the seam route and then the slant. Watch the recoil. I want to throw that seam route. Linebacker plays it. It's not there. Reset. Find Freiermuth. Third and six. That leads to a touchdown. That's really clutch. This one was outstanding, though. We saw this in the highlight. Two man, safety high, underneath man coverage. Watch when this ball's coming out of Big Ben's hand. This is scary for a quarterback. On third down to throw that ball to the out, that's perfect coverage by third and one.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just a better throw. So I don't want to pretend that Big Ben was great, but Big Ben was clutch. The Hall of Famer was clutch. And I think that's what the Steelers' goal was this year. I did not expect this team to make the playoffs.
And the other part is this, though. When we started the season and we were talking about Big Ben, you were talking about the Steelers' outlook, we said, okay, great players, when they get older, it's not that they can't be great anymore. They just can't be great consistently. Right. They can give it to you in small spaces. And we saw that from Big Ben, yesterday was the same thing again.
What Big Ben is not is finished yet. In the meantime, how about one more yesterday? When the Colts.
Oh, I got it.
That's a fellow by the name of Carson Wentz.
What's his name?
13-3. Carson Wentz. What the actual heck happened on this play?
My mic cut out. No. You know, the pressure comes. I think he's trying to kick that ball out for like an incompletion. One of those moments where you just want him to take that sack.
And then he starts throwing more interceptions. This one winds up being called back on a penalty, but still.
Say, go make this catch, Michael Pittman. It's third and 20. That ball
is Michael Pittman's fault, Greeny. Greeny, it's Michael Pittman's fault.
That one's make the catch.
Whose fault is this?
This is 100% on the quarterback. You see that recoil? You're recoiling for a reason. If it's not there and it's first down, you can kick that ball to the flat. It's a bad interception.
You want to see great quarterback play? How about this one from Trevor Lawrence?
Incredible. Yeah. High snap.
Oh, my
third
God.
And goal. Won the athleticism to get to the edge, and then this ball goes up over. If you want to ask why this job is enticing, that throw right there by Trevor Lawrence is the example of why.
In the meantime, Jonathan Taylor had only 15 carries in this game. Ratchet's head almost exploded. And this one's the big one. Fourth and goal, and they stuff him there. It was a perfect microcosm of the day for the Colts.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. He's your best player. Carson Wentz isn't. He's the best player for the other team. Don't do it.
The other team yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, with nothing to play for, who actually opened the day thinking they'd have been better served losing the game. As it turned out, they still have the number one pick in the draft. They knock the Colts out in what has got to be one of the worst regular season losses we've seen any team take in quite a long time.
Well, Greeny, I said on Friday, if the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Indianapolis Colts, I wasn't coming to work today.
You shouldn't have come.
I only came to work because you were back, my friend.
Well, I'm delighted. The world wants to hear from Dan. Carson Wentz, who is like a member of the family, basically. What do we say about it?
What happened in this job, bro?
This loss is on the shoulders of Carson Wentz. Takes a lot for me to say that. Okay, so, listen, I think this is one of the more recent.
Give him a hug.
I'm growing.
Feel good. Yeah.
I'm growing.
That's big.
One of the worst losses in recent NFL memory. I think it's probably one of the worst losses in the history of the Colts organization. Everybody has a hand in this loss.
Yeah, though. I agree with that.
You're not a playoff caliber team and go and lose to a 2-win team because somebody played well. Your offensive line got whooped, seven sacks. Receivers defensive. Didn't get separation. Couldn't run the football. Your defensive line couldn't get out to Trevor Lawrence. You got no coverage that was good.
Yep.
This team led the NFL in takeaways defensively. The Jaguars were the worst team as far as giveaways. They got zero, okay? That being said, Carson Wentz is not the reason that the Colts lost this game. He's also not the reason the Colts won this game. And he was brought there to be the reason in this type of game, the difference maker in this type of game. I didn't go on television and say that I believed in and trusted Carson Wentz just because of the past. I honestly did. I believed that he was going to take that step forward to being a great player again. He was good this year. He was okay in this game. He was never great, and the Colts expected greatness.
Rex.
Yeah, when I look at it, you know, Dan, the first thing he said was the offensive line got whipped. They gave up all these sacks. the receivers couldn't get separation, then why in the hell are you throwing the football as much as you are, and you had the best running back and one of the best games in the entire year?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Remember, this is the same team that blasted the New England Patriots with running the football down their throat, right?
Buffalo.
The same thing with Buffalo that way. You can't beat Jacksonville with the same mindset.
Right.
Unfortunately, I think they're trying to justify the move, the trade and all that. They want Carson Wentz to take those steps. But you don't need to. This team was plenty dangerous getting the playoffs by riding your running game. And to me, you're right, Dano. This is on everybody.
Yeah,
it's on Frank Wright.
I think that's the most disappointing thing, though. When you look at the teams that were in the playoffs, many of us thought that the Indianapolis Colts would be one of those teams that no one wanted to face because they could run the football, because they could turn the football over. But they didn't do any of those things when it mattered most. You look back last week, you lose to the Las Vegas Raiders because Derek Carr makes plays late. You don't offensively with Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts offensive line. And the same thing this week. You were outplayed in every phase of the game by the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had nothing to play for.
There's a lot more to say about that game, and we will. We are just getting rolling, coming off of what was one of the most fascinating final Sundays in NFL history. The Niners are rolling into the playoffs with a physical run game and a vicious defense. Why the Cowboys should be very, very concerned about next Sunday. Plus, it's the rematch of the year. Bama, Georgia, absolutely everything on the line tonight. We're looking ahead. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by Toyota. Let's go places. Hey, you know who's going places? Ja Morant. Mm. RC, how about this block by the young Memphis star?
You know what? It's about the hustle, right? He has the turnover. He's going to get the chase down block. And we always, look at LeBron with the chase down block. We're going to get it with 2 hands off the backboard. Greeny, I feel like I've seen this before. Yeah. I feel like something has been very similar. Oh, is it Michael Jordan? Is it the GOAT? It's not the last dance. It's the last dang block. Get it off the backboard, MJ. Show him that you still got it. Then talk to him as you walk away against your former team. Ja Morant has been absolutely crazy this year. Belongs in the MVP conversation.
Well done. Coming up, the D in Big D stands for doom. And we'll explain why the Cowboys lost yesterday without even playing. That's next. Set my body free one time. Set my body free
so I can free my. NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. Back to the action from a sensational Sunday yesterday. Comeback of the night. Niners, Rams. Rams clinch the division with a win. Niners need a win to get in the playoffs. Third quarter. Niners had been down 17-0. Okay, now it's 17-3, and here comes Debo.
Just burst by Debo, one of the more versatile players in the
Monster.
NFL. He's got 8 rushing touchdowns for a wide receiver, most in the Super Bowl era.
That made it 17-10 later in the quarter.
What
Niners at the 24.
Dying play call, right? You run the football, get the defense to be over-aggressive. Easy touchdown for your offense.
Fourth quarter, 2.5 to play. Rams on a third and goal. Two words, Cooper Kupp.
Sick throw. Reset three to the corner. Beautiful touch over those trailing defenders. Watch Cooper get his left foot down. Look at the body control. Left foot, right foot. Outstanding job by the offensive player of the year.
So the Rams up a touchdown. Niners, less than a minute left. Jimmy G, here's your chance. Here's your season. Could he step up? Yes, he could.
I didn't think he could step up, but look at this dime. It's a cover two. Jalen Ramsey plays up a little bit, and Deebo Samuel with a big run after the catch.
43 yards on that play, and then about 30 seconds to go. Jimmy G does it. Seals the deal to Jennings.
This is crazy. Jimmy G, a guy who we didn't expect to be able to lead a team to victory, is the reason that the San Francisco 49ers are in the playoffs, and that was an example of it.
That one got them into overtime at 24. Now in the OT, 3rd and 6, it's Garoppolo, it's Jennings again.
Nice job, man. Set him inside, ball comes out in time, and it's placed in the right spot where Jennings can catch and run after bad tackling by this Rams defense.
Sets up a chip shot field goal. Robbie Gould, 24 yards. It's up. It's good. So the Niners are up 27-24. But the Rams get their chance. Remember, San Francisco needed to win to get in. And it's Stafford. And here's your ball game, Dan.
Hey, man, who the fudge cut these highlights for me today?
Stafford picked off.
Who the fudge cut the
highlights? To end the game. So between Carson Wentz.
We get one Rams play. It's that.
And Matt Stafford. Well, we had the touchdown
Cooper
to Cooper Kupp, and then we got
Jimmy throw.
Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Niners are on their way to the playoffs. Three teams from that division wind up making it. The Rams win the division despite the loss. They will host Arizona next Monday night. That's our game on ESPN and ABC. The Niners will head to Dallas to face the Cowboys on Sunday. So much to take from this game here. And let's start by giving credit to the quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo, no one ever talks about him when we talk about San Francisco. That last drive and regulation was clutch.
No, Jimmy G was the reason the San Francisco 49ers won yesterday. Obviously, Deebo Samuel made some huge plays, but Jimmy G led this team to victory. He made every throw in the second half that this team needed for him to win. And when we often talk about the San Francisco 49ers, it's about the pass rush, right? It's about the versatility of a Deebo Samuel or George Kittle being one of the top tight ends in the league, but we never speak about Jimmy G. We never say that Jimmy G can be a reason that this team becomes a Super Bowl contender, but yesterday he was. Yesterday, when it got late in the game, I gave the Los Angeles Rams to win because I didn't think Jimmy G could pull through. I didn't think he'd make the throws to allow this team to win, and he did.
I think they won because of Deebo Samuel. I mean, Jimmy G was really good, right? You saw this team fall down 17-0, and Kyle Shanahan never wavered from their identity, continue to run the football, the play-action pass, but Deebo took over. You motion. Now look at the communication from the defense, RC, right? And then as Kittle goes back across the formation, watch that slot defender. He steps down just for a second because he's got his eyes there. That allows Jennings to go down, crack block him. That's just enough for Deebo to get one-on-one on the perimeter versus that corner. His physical play and his burst is going to be too much. Then another, you run the football, motion him in the backfield, hand the ball off to him. Two things are important here. One, he's got to get that ball and tuck. And then two, Jennings has got to go down to sell that block. Jalen Ramsey eyes in the backfield a little bit. Easy touchdown. This is probably the play of the game, though. You got that palms coverage, cover four, cover two. He's reading that number two receiver. Out route. That makes him a squat corner. Mm-hmm. Now, Deebo's going to inside release and go to that corner up behind him. Great throw by Jimmy G. Yep. But he gets another 20 yards because of the yards after the catch right there. Yep. So Jimmy G was really good, but just the – the not only the versatility by Deebo, but just the explosiveness
by him. I think the one thing, too, Green, you have to give the San Francisco 49ers, and we talk about this all the time, always say the San Francisco 49ers are the team that's most aware of their identity.
This is who I am.
They know exactly who they are. When they got behind in this game, they never departed from that. Right. They didn't become a team that went run and shoot, right? It wasn't Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers, and they were going to throw the ball all around the yard. They remained consistent to who they were, and that's why they got back in the game.
Well, here we are. That's a team that's down 17-0, and they never abandoned running the football. We talked earlier about the Colts, who only ran the ball 15 times with Jonathan Taylor yesterday in a game that was not nearly as out of reach as this one seemed like it would be. So, do the Niners now?
It's a bad match for the Dallas Cowboys.
What's that? Way to host.
The Niners are the team nobody wants to play, right? And it's the Cowboys who draw them first.
It's a bad matchup for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a bad matchup for anybody in the NFC. I think it's mostly a bad matchup for the Cowboys because the Cowboys' strength is their pass rush by the front.
Yeah.
Well, that run game is going to minimize that a little bit. A brilliant coach in Kyle Shanahan is going to do everything he can to try to minimize the impact of number 11, Micah Parsons. Yep. How many different things can you get him to look at to play a little slower? The screen game. Maybe you try to get him running sideline to sideline and the counter action. I also think he's really good at finding weaknesses of a defense people-wise and attacking those guys. Anthony Brown has been attacked on that coverage, right? 30 for a long time. So I just think it's a really bad matchup for the Dallas Cowboys. Again, I think it's a bad matchup for everybody.
I think in today's football, anytime you find a team that is built on physicality, they're bad matchups, right? We've gotten into this point where we want to see run and gun. We want to see things spread out. And when you have a team that can directly attack you downhill, it's difficult. But like Dan mentioned, the things that Kyle Shanahan can make you see pre-snap.
Right.
When we watched the film that Dan just put up, it was about pre-snap motion. Right, it was about making sure you put people in bad position. Kyle Shanahan finds the matchups that are favorable to him, and he does them in a way where he accentuates the positive of his star players, and we saw that yesterday.
As I sit here today on Monday, like if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw that, what were you thinking? Interception, where we just sometimes I think this 49ers win the football game.
Yeah,
now I don't really think that's going to change over the week. My thoughts on it, but I just believe because of the style of their offense, it's a tough out.
And I think too, it's also indicative of what we feel about the Dallas Cowboys now. I think if we talk about this the first 7 weeks of the season, we feel differently about this. And even when you get to Green Bay, we'll say all these good things about the San Francisco 49ers, but we can depend on Aaron Rodgers. We believe in Matt LaFleur. I don't think we believe those things about the Dallas Cowboys anymore, and we believe in the consistency of the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, you mentioned the Packers. I mean, that's a team. Those two teams, San Francisco and Green Bay, played in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. We all remember San Francisco ran it down their throat.
Yes.
The 49ers are a team no one, including the one seed, is going to want to play.
Remember, they played in September, and Aaron had that heroic throw over the top.
It was amazing. So Devontae Adams late in the game.
So much to get to as we continue on the NFL, and we will. But this is a day that will end in Indianapolis, the college football playoff national championship game tonight on ESPN. Bama, Georgia, 8 Eastern. Alabama looking for its 7th title in just 13 years. Georgia looking for their first since 1980. It'll be the 5th time ever that teams have met twice in AP top 5 matchups in the same season. That, historically, would be bad news for Alabama. The team that won the first game in each of the previous 4 went on to lose the rematch. But Nick Saban tends to skew the equation a good deal, and so does this man. No one's more excited today than Paul Feinbaum with the SEC going head-to-head for the title, and he gets up with us here. Good morning, Paul. And so we know that Bama and Nick Saban has never lost to Georgia, but this is a different Georgia football team. Yes, how is this Kirby Smart team different than any that Nick has seen before in this kind of spot?
Greeny, this is the best team that Nick Saban has faced at Georgia, and that really is the big difference. In the past, Saban has always had a little bit of an edge, and if he fell behind, he made a move, such as the national championship game when he put in Tua Tagovailoa. But this time, Georgia has the best team. I know what happened 4 weeks ago in Atlanta. They did not look very good because Alabama simply came ready to play, and Georgia, for whatever reason, was off a step. And if Georgia plays its best game, they'll win, but they're also facing Nick Saban, as we have said ad nauseum over the years.
Well, Saban obviously is a big part of the story. He skews any equation based upon the historical perspective. How would we put into terms what is at stake for him tonight with the possibility of winning another?
We've already declared Nick Saban the greatest football coach of all time, which is saying a great deal considering he's at the same school and he works on a street called Bear Bryant Drive. However, this would put him in a different echelon, Greeny. We're not comparing him to Paul Bryan anymore. We will start comparing him with a win tonight to the greats of all time in any sport, including John Wooden, who won 10 national championships at UCLA in basketball. This is a different sport, but think about 8 national championships over his career, 7 since 2009. That puts him in the conversation, and it's quite a mouthful.
That said, I feel like you are leaning towards Georgia. Who do you think wins this one tonight?
I am, Greeny, because I think those who have gone against Nick Saban have been burned to a crisp. And I even though it's 17 degrees here, I don't feel like getting burned. I'm going with Nick Saban. I'm going with Alabama. I think this will be a much closer game than the last time. Losing John Metchie for Alabama at wide receiver was a big blow. Georgia's defense is elite. But ultimately, Nick Saban holds up that trophy late tonight.
All right, it's not what I expected you to say. Paul, thank you so much. Enjoy the day. You will be in very much in demand. That's Paul Feinbaum. Again, Georgia, Alabama tonight. Number 3, number 1, 8 Eastern, college football national championship at Lucas Oil in Indy. We got pre-coverage all day. We have you covered from every platform tonight, TV, radio, digital. So many to watch and listen to the biggest game of the football year. Meanwhile, as we continue, Joe Judge called the Washington football team a clown show, and then Washington stomped the Giants. Is it time for New York to move on from the circus? We'll answer that question next. I'm on fire. I gotta get it. Keep my
mind on my business. I'm gonna show you how. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's an SEC battle for the ages. Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide going for their 7th national championship in 13 years. The Georgia Bulldogs looking to win their first title since 1980. Who will make history? We have it covered from top to bottom. Tuesday morning right here on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
And we roll along on this Monday. Get Up presented by T-Mobile, and it is one of our favorite times of the week. RC is here, and he will now explain his tweets. He is the best Twitter follow in the business, especially on Sundays. And here we go for the regular season finale. Tweet number 1. T.J. Watt is such a beautiful Steeler. Just flat out phenomenal. I don't know if I've been this excited to watch a dude put on that black and gold since 43 did. Going to be an all-timer on another in a long line of real true G's of the steel curtain. Hashtag salute. RC, explain that
tweet. Listen, I'm just excited about T.J. Watt. And this is a guy who I think I didn't give enough credit throughout the season. He's going to be the defensive player of the year. He ties Michael Strahan for the most sacks in a single season. And I don't care if it's 17 games because he missed 2 games because of injury. T.J. Watt is better than his brother J.J. was, and that's why J.J. has become his biggest fan, along with me. It's Ryan Clark and then J.J. Watt, because we understand what type of transcendent player T.J. Watt is, and he is one of the largest reason that this team is in the playoffs.
But J.J. Watt, multiple time defensive player of the year. You're saying yes. His younger brother is a better player.
He's going to win it this year, and I expect multiple times for T.J. Watt as well.
All right, next up, next tweet. Once again, Josh Allen throws a football that he has absolutely no intention on completing just to step on fools. He throws it dang near out of the stadium and the run just to show off for his friends. Hashtag arm arrogance.
RC. Yeah, Josh Allen got to stop this, bro, right? Like, Josh Allen's rolling out right here. He's in no way trying to complete this ball. Do you know what this is? This is like when you see your homegirl at the dance and she don't really know you can get down and you start pop locking, but it's a slow song. He's just trying to show people, you know what? I can do things that other people can't. My arm is so strong that on a night that Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times, I threw it 20 plus because everybody knows who I am. Josh Allen has done things this season that people have not been able to do from an arm talent position. Now, he didn't play great last night,
no.
But it didn't matter. You know why? Because the cute girl still saw him throw the ball out of the stadium, and she was like, you know what? I want him.
That's because the other guys of the dance had less than 60 yards of offense, but that's a whole other conversation. All right, last one. It's crazy what the Giants have become. Such a proud organization with a great family of owners that has turned into a laughingstock. You got a coach speaking on invisible barriers of success, stars that ain't starring, and an offense that runs wing T quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 9. Hashtag sad. RC, explain that tweet.
Absolutely hate the New York Giants. From the bottom of my soul, I hate the New York Giants. I hate their coach. I hate everything about them. Even their colors disgust me. It's absolutely a despicable display of football every time you watch this team play. They have a coach who's like, you know what? Everybody believes. People have faith. That's the hardest thing to do. You know why he says that? Because he can't win a freaking football game. He wants to come out, be Timmy Tough Nuts, look at my small chin, watch how tough I can be in the post-game press conference. How about you be tough during the game and actually stop somebody? How about you be tough during the game and actually score some freaking points? I'm so tired of Joe Judge. And listen, I wouldn't hate the Giants so much if I didn't hate Joe Judge so much. If he didn't always walk up like he was all swole and he was all big and bad all the damn time and lose every freaking game, I wouldn't even be upset. If he was humble, right? If he wasn't arrogant, if he didn't act like he was Bill Belichick, you know what he is? Bill Belichick your ass out of the stadium because he's sorry as hell.
Dan and Rex, come on in. I'm not sure how you're going to follow that.
It's an extremely well-taken point.
But
Rex, stand, dude,
pick up the thought there, because for those of you who didn't see it and don't know what he's talking about, they ran consecutive quarterback sneaks backed up in their own end yesterday, relatively early in the game, because they had taken a safety the week before.
That's gross.
One way or another. I mean, it's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing.
I think it was their second best run of the day, so. I mean, that's why he's doing it. The guy's brilliant. All right, here's the thing. This is a proud franchise.
It is.
One thing he's talked about, it really is. And this fan base deserves a heck of a lot better, and so do the owners of the Giants and everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's why, to me, there's no way. They want to keep this coach. They don't want to go through coaches every 2 years and all. They have no choice but to get rid of this guy. Why? He's embarrassed this franchise. Mm. And not just by the fact of that, hey, you know, they've had 21 head coaches in this proud franchise history.
Yeah.
All right? He's the first one. He's got one thing that he's accomplished. 6 straight games, they've given up double-digit losses.
Yeah.
6 straight games.
Yeah.
So, to me, congratulations. But that's not what I'm talking about. When he attacked these other franchises, the Washington football team in particular, about this and this, and going off on other organizations.
And then you lose to
them. Yeah, then you lose to them. By the way, you're lucky that Ron Rivera didn't see how tough you were. Because Ron, I'm sure, would have whipped you right in front of everybody. But to me, here's the thing. This guy embarrassed the Giant family, that fan base, not by how horrendous they played, but by the other things, and this man needs to go.
There is no chance that you can bring him back as your head coach.
Yep.
Because if you do, you are telling your fan base and your players what you do and what you say does not matter.
Yeah.
Joe Judge is the guy who stood up there on his first press conference and said, this team will play to the identity of this region.
Right.
I am from Connecticut. I grew up close to New York City. That ain't the identity of this region, boss. Just to give up on a football game.
Right.
You've lost your locker room. You've lost your fan base. And you've lost any chance of getting a free agent wanting to come to play for you.
Yep.
Not only because of the things that you said going into your press conference as the head coach, but the things you said last week. And then the way you handled this football game.
Yep.
There's no way. I don't know the Mara family. They're tremendous. I have tremendous respect for them. There's no way that they can sit there and say, we are headed in the right direction. Yeah. With Joe Judge as our football coach. I would say this real quickly, RC.
Yeah.
Imagine the feeling that the Detroit Lions have, who have been a joke for 25
Absolutely.
Years
no
as
question.
An organization.
Yep.
What they've done this season and what they did yesterday with their head coach in comparison to what the New York Giants organization and players feel about theirs.
So many times we've come on this show and Greeny has said, I would take Dan Campbell as my
no
head coach.
Question.
Nobody's saying that about Joe Judge.
Correct.
The things that Joe Judge said when he got the jobs, got the job is not the way that this team has been playing, and that's the issue. That's why he wants to point to things that you cannot quantify, because when you watch them on the field, they are not giving maximum effort.
But they also, his team embodies literally the opposite of everything that he says.
Yes, yes. Correct.
And so does the way that he coaches. All right, did you guys see what happened in the NBA last night? Welcome back, Klay Thompson.
And the dunk!
He was back after 2 years being gone, and he got a warm welcome, as you'd expect, at the Chase Center. Listen to this.
He's back! And now, in his 11th NBA season, out of Washington State University, number 11, Klay Thompson!
It's a fabulous moment for him and all that he has overcome, and he was feeling it, and the crowd was feeling it. This is the very first possession of the game. Look at Klay with a tough floater over Jared Allen. RC, I want you to watch this play. This is, watch Tom sit here. Crossover.
Yo! Oh! Yo, Greedy! Yo, Greedy! That's what we do! That's what we do, Greedy! Get hyped, Steph! Take it to the rack! Facial! Facial!
Throws it down on the entire team.
Something lift.
And then you know what Klay does best. Knock it down the three. He would play 20 minutes, score 17 points. Warriors, a big win in his return. 96-82. Klay Thompson, welcome back.
Very special moment. I'll never forget. It was, I'm not going to say equivalent to winning a championship, but, man, it was pretty freaking close, because there were times in the past where you second-guess yourself. You think you're going to be the same player or have the same explosion or whatever term. And, man, it was special.
Now, he got shots up yesterday. 18 field goal attempts, most by a Warriors player in 20 or fewer minutes since Rick Barry back in 1977. Great for him. All right, again, Georgia-Alabama tonight, 8 Eastern, national championship game. And for the 9th straight year, we're blowing it out with the broadcast. Got the megacast, TV, radio, digital. So many ways to watch and listen to the biggest game of the year. As we continue, it's one of the worst late-season collapses ever. What happened to the Colts and Carson Wentz? We will ask Dan Orlovsky that question in just a moment as we continue here on Get Up, which is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.